Everyone still there?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Kevin, is this Kevin Axtell that we have on the line?
Yes.
Okay, Kevin. Is Brandy there too tonight?
She's supposed to be calling in. She's actually up north a little bit with family in Eureka. So I do expect her, but she hasn't called in yet. So.
Okay. If not, we'll work off of the audio recording.
Perfect.
To get the minutes. Hello, who just popped in?
Kevin McBeth.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kim. Hello, everyone else.
Yep, we have Kevin Axtell here so far, and Mike Sullivan, Marilyn Sullivan is on her way, and Philip DiPaolo is here as well. I don't know if any of the rest of you had heard, but the reason Richard missed the last meeting is he was in an
office
break before the meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He's fine now. Hello, Marilyn.
Hello.
He said he was fine, you know, when he emailed me a couple days later, but he did get shaken up a bit and all. Mike, is that you on iChat?
Yeah, sorry, I'll mute.
That's okay. I just recognized that sound, that's all. Okay, where is everyone tonight?
I know.
Oh, Kim, you didn't include the phone number in the your email, so I had to go looking for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was at the top of the June meeting minutes or June meeting agenda.
Well, actually, the one I got marked June 16th agenda was May's.
I had sent out another one later.
Yeah, I thought
that was the right one. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry. Got it. Got it, Mike.
All right.
We can give it another minute or two because I don't think we have enough people.
No, we don't. With only three of us, we need four for quorum to do any business. We can run through the reports, but we can't do anything as far as voting.
Well.
And I know Tom Wall is on the road right now. Kevin, do you have his – either Kevin, do you have Tom's – phone number handy?
Yeah, I'll send him a message.
And Richard's phone number that's listed is no longer a valid phone number.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I tried to call him the other day. Let me see if it's changed in the roster. If not, we may have to schedule another meeting specifically for the video contract, because that has to be done before the fest.
Right.
Okay, I'm just going to leave this phone for a second and see if I can get Richard on the line. Okay?
Thank you.
Be back. Hey, Richard, it's Kim. Just trying to get through to you about tonight's board meeting. I know you knew about it, but wanted to make sure.
Tom.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm late.
Yay, Quarrel.
Thank you. Okay, I got Richard's voicemail.
Tom came.
Oh, is Tom on?
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Sorry, I'm in Portland right now, and I totally, like, lost track of where I am, so I was all mixed up in the time zones.
No problem. That happens when you're traveling. At least we have four of us on the line right now, so that's we can move ahead with business tonight. So let me go ahead and call the meeting to order at 8:08 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Kim Laird is present. Kevin Axtell.
Here.
Ken Ferris is absent. Richard Kennison is absent. Kevin McBeth.
Here.
Tom Wall.
I'm here.
Martin
and thank
Frost.
Thank you, Kevin McBeth.
Martin Frost is absent. Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Marilyn Sullivan.
Here.
Holly Greeley, I believe, said she was not going to join us tonight. Is that correct, Kevin?
That's correct.
Okay. And Brandy Slater has not called in yet either, correct?
Correct. She's on the road, so she might not make it to call in, but she can listen to the recording afterwards.
Yep, that would be perfect. Also invited to attend tonight's board meeting are board candidates Aaron Stevens. And is Aaron here? Okay. Matt Hall, I know, is in Japan currently. And Philip DiPaolo, you are here, correct?
I'm here.
Okay. So first we need approval of the agenda for this evening. We need a motion to approve tonight's agenda for June 16th, 2010, please.
I'll move to approve the agenda. Kevin A.
Okay, we need a second, please.
I'll second it. This is Tom.
Okay. Second on our agenda is to approve the minutes from May 19th. There are two corrections to be made on those minutes. The first is Mike Sullivan's position. His report was listed as the 2010 Fest report. That needs to be corrected to 2011. And Martin Frost was listed in the May report as being present. He was actually absent. So do we have a motion to approve the minutes with those corrections on it?
I'll move to approve the minutes with the mentioned corrections. Kevin A.
Okay, second, please. Between Tom or Kevin?
I'll second it with Tom.
Okay. All right. Reports. 2010 Fest report. I'll just go through this very quickly. Everything's right on schedule for the start of the Fest. Mike Sullivan and I discussed, and he selected a credential system that keeps us well within our budget. Thank you, Mike, for that. The stage situation has been resolved, and we're all set to have our championships on the Celebrity Showroom in the Nugget on Wednesday and Thursday, and the Cascade of Stars show on Saturday will be on the Celebrity Showroom stage in the Nugget. Friday has been changed to A Taste of Vaudeville, and that will be on a constructed stage in Ballroom B. I have not been able to touch base with Joe Sandusky at the Nugget this week to catch up with him about that constructed stage because he is out on vacation until June 20th. So I'll do that once he gets back. Also, thanks to Mike and Martin for getting out an email blurb concerning that switch of the Friday and Saturday show schedule. Keith also emailed all of the performers prior to that general email announcement going out so that all the performers were informed before the general membership and those attendees were informed. There was only one performer, happened to be a performance team. The Flash was the only group that I had to change their ticket and just extend it by a day. They were fine with doing that, and I took care of that change today for both of them. I have a lead on a parliamentarian for our business meeting, which is required by policy that was set back in 2008. I haven't nailed down that parliamentarian and gotten a firm commitment yet, but I do have one in the Sparks area through the local Lions Club. So more to come on that. I'm still in search of a directors for numbers competition. Richard Kennison did agree to be the 2010 championships director, and Kevin Axtell has offered to help him out in whatever way is necessary. As far as the required room nights, as of yesterday, we have surpassed our required 80% of 900 room nights. So we're safe with the room for now.
Hooray!
Yay!
Yay! Awesome. And I did my happy dance after I saw that information yesterday. In addition to that, we only have 39 days left until the start of 2010 Fest, 39 short days. And I feel we are in very good shape with our expenses. With the income that's come in, we have not exceeded the income that has come in at this point, so we're well within budget. And the to-do list at this point is very, very short. I'm holding off on ordering the T-shirts only because they will ship those T-shirts directly to Sparks Nevada at no charge. And that company is very, very good. They have a 4 to 5 day turnaround time from the time you order the shirts to the time they ship them. So I've already talked with a representative from that company that I'm working with, and they are very aware that the shirts cannot arrive more than 10 to 14 days before our fest. So we're planning it so that all the shirts arrive about a week or two before the fest actually starts. Same thing with the fest programs. I'm kind of holding off on those, and they'll be printed by a printer right in Sparks, Nevada, so we will not have to pay any kind of shipping fee on the fest booklets either. Any questions about the 2010 fest?
Kim, I have one question. Is the same stage that they're constructing for the Vaudeville Friday show the one that we will use for the individual prop competition?
Individual prop, remind me, I don't have my master list up. What day are we doing individual prop?
I believe it's on Thursday afternoon.
If it's on Thursday afternoon, it may be up by that time. They are constructing it on Thursday.
Okay.
So if it's up and ready to go, that would be the stage. And I can find out a time frame from Joe when he gets back as to how long it will take them to do that. If not, there is also a riser stage that will be in the one corner of the gym.
Okay. So there is a backup.
Yep. And there is a parquet floor, an 18 by 18 foot square parquet floor that will also be right next to that stage, so that anyone that's doing bounce juggling can juggle there as well.
Cool. And last question, do we have a sound system? Is the Nugget providing sound for that particular competition?
We have a sound system that we have rented from the Nugget for the week. It will be one handheld mic. We also got one lavalier mic as well. And we'll have hookups for either a portable CD player or an MP3 player, iPod, things like that.
Great. Sounds wonderful.
Now, that system will be kept behind the registration desk for most of the week, but it's a portable system. And there's a jack that we just have to plug into right at the one pillar that will be at the edge of the stage in the gym. So all we have to do is move that. The sound will go throughout the gym, but that's okay.
Cool.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Hearing none, we'll move on. Mike, 2011 Fest.
Thanks, Kim. Well, we're 57 or so weeks out from the beginning of the 2011 Fest, and things are rocking right along. I've got a budget draft in real good shape, and I'm going to finish tweaking that in the next few days and be able to send it off to Kevin and Holly to look over before the 2010 Fest so we can discuss it when we're there. Budget's looking real good and should be a very profitable festival for the IJA, even with a modest price decrease for our attendees and lots of other little perks thrown in. Still firming up headliners and other featured guests and performers for the fest with Dan Holtzman. Working on the promotional flyer that we'll have at this year's fest that's shaping up well. Kevin is helping me on sourcing some promotional video shot by local jugglers in Rochester. Don't know if that'll be ready for this year's fest, but if not, we can post it online afterwards. Talk to Kevin Wall, corresponded with Tom Wall, our vendor coordinator and vendor outreach guy, about a proposition I'm considering for next year, which would be free basic vendor space for any vendor who advertises in Juggle Magazine during the next year. I'd really like to have the gym packed with vendors next year, and by reducing their cost of attending quite a bit by not having a basic vendor fee for tables and access to the gym, I think we'd attract more people and get more vendors in the booth, into their booths for the fest. So we're working on that, and I'll propose that formally in the budget. Other than that, just working on miscellaneous things that I can get done now, and hope to have a lot more to tell you when we see each other in Sparks next month.
Sounds good, Mike. One question. Do you know at this point whether we're going to have to be renting tables and whatnot for the vendors, or is that included with our contract?
We'll probably get a number of tables free, and I think that we'll be able to manage the vendor tables and tables for our own needs with that amount of tables. Even if we had to pay a little bit for tables, I'm not that concerned about it, Kim, because in the big scheme of things, it's a tiny fraction of a percent of our expenses.
Right.
And so I'd rather have a lot of vendors and spend a little bit of money than nickel and dime the vendors and not have as many there. So with the budget I'm proposing, even if we had to pay for a few tables and some electric, I think we'll still be in great shape.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because that was a big thing with the vendors this year. We're basically breaking even. We're making a couple bucks, but with mm-hmm. those vendors that are part of the vendor discount program, we are making nothing. because of the cost of renting out there. All right, I just wanted to ask that. And one more thing that's just kind of in connection with the two fests, an idea I want to throw out there to everyone. Because storage is always a problem. Where do we send the trophies and everything else? And we usually end up shipping to one location and then having to ship again the following year out to the festival. And I guess this question is kind of directed not only at Mike, but at Kevin Macbeth as well. Kevin, I found a storage facility that doesn't seem to be too far from your home. It's within a half-hour drive. And we can get that it's a 4x5 space. It's basically a large closet. We can get that facility for about $200 for the year. The first month is at only the cost of $1, and the I didn't figure in tax into this, but it comes out to approximately $200 for the year. What are everyone's feelings about just shipping the trophies and all of our items, except possibly the cash register, which has to be reprogrammed each year? But what are people's thoughts on maybe just renting a facility to store those items in where they would just be taken out before the fest and driven out to the festival?
Hey, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I should have an empty bedroom. Would that work?
That would work wonderfully. That's even better.
Well, that is even better, Kevin, and the only way that would improve is if you moved to Rochester by saying.
No.
But
the bedroom is empty.
Well, that's all I was going to suggest, is that we possibly consider finding a place and a person in Rochester that could handle that chore for the next year. But since you're willing and able and already close by, that's a great option.
So you could send a cash register to me, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because I could probably figure out the programming on that.
Okay, that's great, because I know that's been an issue in the past. We're paying for shipping twice every time we move. So if you're willing to do that and transport it to the fest, that's awesome, Kevin. Thank you.
Well, Kevin, I wouldn't ask my worst enemy to reprogram this cash register every year, and since I've already done it and know all of its idiosyncrasies, I'd be happy for you to store it, but I would never ask you to reprogram it.
Okay. We'll
I'll show you what I mean when I see you in Sparks.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, good. Financial, Kevin.
Yeah, so no big news this month. We should have the quarter two financial statements ready to go by the IJA festival. So we should be set there. We're just getting some inventory things worked out before people leave. So.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Anything going on in the store?
Magazines are about halfway done. I should have the rest of them done by July 1st. So that's back issues of Juggle Magazine and Juggler's World. And we've even sold a few already, so pretty happy about that.
Yay!
And then we're going to need to look at options for store distributor. So right now I'm filling in and distributing stuff. But for the long run, we need someone who can distribute all of our old stock. Having it split across multiple people is very difficult.
And that's why I had talked to you about maybe going through Amazon.com or a similar service. But I honestly haven't been able to really dedicate as much time to that as I want it to. So I've done a little bit of searching, but I haven't seen anything that's popping out as a good, resolution for us.
Right. Let's, I'll take a look at that. And then also, the festival might be a good place to try to recruit someone as well.
Okay.
So, but for right now, I'm having absolutely no trouble keeping up with orders, and that includes World Juggling Day t-shirts. So they're all shipped.
Good job.
Or, I mean, all the orders were shipped. I still have some in my closet.
Okay, sounds good. All right, membership. Marilyn, I'm sorry I didn't get to paste this into the Word document before I send it out.
That's okay. Well, we have 1,389 member records representing 1,681 members, holding steady at 280 lifetime members. We have 76 youth and 200 families. I need to say something about the youth. There was 93 reported in May, but I did an audit of the youth members, and I found quite a few that are 19 and 20, so they're definitely not considered youth. So once I corrected all those, we're back down to 76. So we have more adults. and registrations, we're up to 259 individuals that are coming to the fest, either registered or buying tickets or just going to the special workshops. And we have 10 special workshops. A couple of them are unpaid, and about 18 people paid championship fees.
Yes, and Anthony actually has 22 packets at his house. So I have contacted those other three that seem as if they're not paid.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from them yet to see if they're sending in their money.
Yeah, maybe they sent it directly to Anthony. I got some Maxwell got, some I got, some were in the store, so they were all over the place. There was one came from China. It was from Taiwan. The Taiwan school that competed last year as a team, I forget their name. Mike, you know, the Taiwan Physical Education Group.
Mm-hmm.
They sent in a payment for $50, and it's either for a team and one individual, or they paid $25 for two people and a team, which is wrong. So I'm in email contact with them to see if we can figure out what they really wanted there.
Okay, and I can check, too, with Anthony. He gets back from Brazil on Monday, so we'll be going through all those packets and sending them out to the preliminary judges. So
okay.
I'll touch base with them Monday about those.
Okay, we do still have two that are unpaid in the store.
Okay. Maybe the third person hasn't even registered yet, so I just want to make sure that we have all the registration materials before things are sent out to the judges. So.
Right. Martin was concerned that there were a few that sent in a championship fee that don't have a gym passes or a event package purchased yet. And so I emailed all of those people to make sure that they're aware that they need one or the other. And matter of fact, one did end up buying a package this week. So, it's not like they must pre-register, and I suggested that they should, but that's not required.
Okay. Thank you for doing that.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions for Marilyn about membership numbers? If not, the membership drive, the final drawing for the membership drive prizes will take place at noon Eastern Time on World Juggling Day. I'm still trying to figure out the logistics of how I'm going to do that live on the internet. And if it's not exactly live, then I will make sure it's videotaped and put on YouTube or something. But
okay.
I can do a live version somehow, and I will make sure it is posted on Rec as well as on our forum and several other forums that I frequent. So I'll make sure the word gets out there.
Cool.
Great. I'll get you that list on Saturday morning. Is that all right?
That would be perfect. Yeah. Because I'm actually DJing that afternoon for a dance recital, too.
Well,
the things we do. Education.
Well,
Kevin, I don't know if you read what I sent there, but feel
I
free
did.
To add whatever.
We have the 10 people signed up already, is that correct?
That's right. Had 10 people within the first 5 days of announcing it.
That's a good sign. My only thought, I haven't taken any action on it, and I appreciate everything you've done, but my only thought is making sure that we are lined up with Matt Hall with the workshop times, because he did say he wanted to make sure that the YEP workshops have a reasonable time to not over disrupt the participants' schedules.
Right, and I did speak with Matt before he left specifically about that and a couple other items. So that's being taken care of on his end. I have to tighten up a few things with him within the schedule now. But as soon as he gets back from Japan, that's on his first thing item to-do list.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I just want to thank you again, Kim, for all your work on that. You're just such a superstar.
It wasn't just me. Erin did a ton of work on it, too.
I know.
And she's still working on connecting that program with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, which, from what I understand from Erin, they are very, very interested in having us be a part of their program. So, yay.
Like an all-around win.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Actually, we had an 11th person express interest just the other day.
Cool.
I want to say it was just yesterday, so we're getting up there. Tom, anything for marketing?
I guess I've got a couple of things. Nothing of any huge noteworthy anything. I'm currently working on a redesign of the e-newsletter with Don. He's making, like, we're working on this month's issue concurrently, so we'll have two different versions that you guys can look at. Sort of see, there's the, you know, the classic version, and then there's the version that I'm working on, which I think is a lot cleaner and it looks a little bit more professional. So that's pretty cool. I have been speaking with the guy in charge of the Costa Rican National Festival. He's actually the person, or one of the people in charge of Shalom Blue, one of the vendors that does the vendor discount program with us. And he has expressed some interest in, well, actually not some interest, great interest, lots of interest, about the possibility of having some sort of an IJA stage event at the Costa Rican Festival. This is the first year that they're going to be in a major convention center, as I understand it. They usually hold it on the, like, on the beach, and they get 200 to 300 people coming every year to that. So they're expecting a much bigger draw this year. But he said he was going to send me a proposal. I just haven't gotten it yet. So I'll pass it along to you guys so we can talk about that at great length, I'm sure. But really, those are the two big things for me. So nothing really tangible yet, but hopefully something will come of it. So.
Awesome. That sounds exciting. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
Great.
And the pitch that I gave him is basically, it's based off of the thing that I put in Board. I think it was in Board Plus. So it should be familiar to everybody. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Just keep us up to date on it. I hope that all comes together, because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions on any of the reports? If not, let's move on to motions for consideration. Motion A is to approve the 2010 festival video contract with Ivan Pacell, and that was tacked onto the end of the agenda in attachment A. Sorry about that. Someone to make the motion, please.
I'll make that motion, Kevin A.
Someone to second, please.
I'll second, Kevin Macbeth.
Okay. And discussion on this.
I'm glad he's doing it, and I thought the contract looked reasonable and good, so I say we do it.
Now, here's the question, and this is what I brought this idea up to Ivan, and he absolutely loved the idea. What I was considering doing was doing video downloads from our website, from our store. By doing this, we can offer a few less expensive videos. They would be shorter, only maybe 15 minutes or so. He would be able to then break things up even more so than what's written in the contract to actually have focus items. We could probably also get permission, and I say probably because I haven't talked to any of the workshop leaders, but we could probably also, if some of the workshop leaders give their permission, put up entire workshops on as individual downloads. And I did speak with David Landown about this idea as well, because I looked through a site that was recommended by Wes Peden that he uses for his video downloads, and David Landown came back and said, we've got the ability to do this on our website through our store. We could still have member and non-member pricing, and we wouldn't be spending anywhere between $4,000 and $5,000 producing a in-the-hand DVD and having to mail them all out. Is there anyone opposed to the idea of trying digital downloads this year instead of going with a tangible DVD?
What's to keep one person from downloading the file and then reposting it or sharing it with other people?
It apparently goes through a code of some sort. I would have to work that out with David. But from what I understood, it's a secure thing where it goes through your ISP number. I don't know that much about it, so I'm not necessarily the right one to ask. But apparently there's some sort of ISP protection that you can't download more than one video after purchasing it. Like, you can purchase it multiple times.
But if I download it once, now it's on my computer, and now I can do what I like with it, I suppose. I'm just worried about IJA spending a lot of money to produce the video and not getting any income because no one or a few people pay and everyone else hears from them or something.
I would think the same thing could, this is Phil. I would think the same thing could happen to DVD. I mean, I can copy any DVD I get and post on the internet too.
My question is, I agree that that is a similar problem that happens with DVDs. Like, I mean, I've definitely seen, you know, pirated copies of all kinds of DVDs floating out there. My question would be, are we going to have some sort of a package where they will get a download code? Was that an option in the, or will that be an option in registration? Because I think that would curtail a lot of that. We would get some revenue off the bat. Like we have in years past, like include a DVD in a Fest package kind of thing.
We did not do that within the Fest packages for purchase right now. We could do something on site if we wanted to. And actually you can kind of get this going if we choose to do the digital downloads. There is a system of using a coupon and giving a coupon code where they would be able to download like one of the less expensive, like a $5 DVD download free of charge. I was thinking of doing that just as a little gift to everybody, but I don't know. I want to get input on that as well.
Also, if you're looking at the idea of doing a digital online version, why not, it's going to sound weird, but you could just make like a porn site. I mean, where they can't actually download it, they could just enter a video gallery that they bought access to, and obviously it's only limited to being able to get online and use internet access, but again, we're offering a different kind of media format that's sort of acceptable nowadays. And that way they aren't able to, make it easy to download it, unless they screen capture or something. But other than that, they wouldn't actually be able to do it. It's just streaming, so they can't download the file itself. That might be an option to kind of make an attempt at stopping them from just reposting a downloaded file.
Well, it sounds like this is something that needs to be hammered out a little bit more and find out from David Landown what our capabilities are on that.
Has Ivan given any opinions on the subject?
Besides the fact that he absolutely loves the idea and he thinks it's the way for us to go, he really hasn't said much else because he admitted he really doesn't post videos for purchase. So that's something different for him. Now, Wes had a lot of input. Wes Peden does it all the time. And he thought also it was a great way for the IJA to go. He's had very little problems with his video downloads. And like he said, as Phil said, you know, pirating is going to happen pretty much no matter what. But I don't think that happens as much within our community. Maybe I'm just being naive. But I don't know. Kevin Macbeth, any input from you on this one?
Well, I think as long as we have a reasonable price set on the video, we should be okay. Yeah, I guess if we were to do some sort of digital rights management on the video, there would also be the concern of people buying it and not being able to use it or having issues with it.
Yeah.
So then you're harming the people who actually pay for the product. So just want to get that thought out there. I like the idea, particularly on some of the smaller stuff, like numbers competition, or some of the less core to the DVD type items, like the numbers competition or something, having those available by download.
Okay.
I think it's the right direction to go.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially if it makes it more affordable for people to get the videos, too.
Right.
I know the DVDs has their price now are a little prohibitive to some people. So
now here is the other question that Ivan wanted me to throw out there. He and I talked at length. He recalled something from his video classes. He just got his degree in editing and publishing of videos. I don't know exactly the name of the degree. But he remembers in one of his classes that he took that copyright is not as stringent on something downloaded. We cannot find, both he and I looked, we cannot find anything in writing that says that. However, he did tell me that if he were to use whatever the competitor uses within the DVD, within the downloadable DVD, rather than having to dub over with royalty-free music, that he would give us a $1,500 price break. Maybe it was $1,000. I'm going down to his payment schedule. $1,000 break. It would be $7,500 if he uses original performer music, $8,500 if he has to do all royalty free. And that's only because it does take him longer to dub over all those videos and to try and find royalty-free music that kind of matches up with the performer's original intent.
Absolutely.
And another thing, what was that?
I just agree that, yeah.
Kevin, could you repeat that again? I missed it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was just agreeing that it would be not only great, but save a lot of time for everybody.
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind, most performers are not going to let us put up their entire act from beginning to end. Some may, but a lot probably will not. So, you know, we're pretty much still going to be doing clips, and with the fair share law, you know, we could probably do it. I have been in touch with ASCAP. You know, we do pay for that licensing through ASCAP. So I don't know what do you guys want to do? Kevin and Tom and Kevin, should we go with the original music and not dub over a performer's music? It would only be for actual competition music. Everything else would still use royalty-free. It would just be competition music, performance music.
I think that so long as it's a legally advisable thing for us to do, we should definitely do it. Because I find that, I mean, while, you know, it's good that we're using the royalty-free stuff and that he was able to dub that stuff over, it does kind of make some of the performances a little sterile, you know. So I think, at least for archive purposes, it makes a lot of sense. So if we're able to do that for the wide distribution, I think that's great, and we should do it.
Agreed.
Well, you should probably check with a lawyer on that one.
Yeah.
I can call the Philadelphia volunteer lawyers again without a problem. That I'll call them tomorrow and get some input and then email everybody on it. But that being neither here nor there, do we want to go ahead and vote on doing digital downloads and using Ivan Bissell? And the only item that would need to be clarified was whether we were going with the royalty-free or the performer's original music. Are we okay to vote like that?
I'm all right with it.
Yeah, I'm all right with it, too.
Okay. Okay. So let's go ahead, Kevin.
Hold up. So in the contract, it says DVD multiple times. So I'm assuming we need to do some tweaks to the contract.
Well, it's a DVD download because I do mention it in there. I do have it in there that it's a download. But I can tweak that. That's no problem. So if we want to amend the motion to say approve the 2010 festival video contract with Ivan Bissell, pending royalty-free versus original music, and noting that DVD will need to read digital download.
I move to amend, as Kim just mentioned, the motion.
Okay, do we have a second for the amended motion?
I'll second, Kevin Macbeth.
Okay. And are we ready to go to vote? Okay. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the festival video contract with Ivan is approved. Motion B, motion to approve IJA participation in creating a series of instructional videos through nolara.com/monkeysee.com. We need a motion, please.
I'll move to approve that. This is Tom.
Tom. We need a second, please.
Second, Kevin A.
Okay. And discussion.
Can I ask who made this proposal?
I actually did. But I've been talking with Tom Wall because monkeysee.com had contacted Tom, about a month ago?
Yeah, a month or two ago, yeah.
Yeah. And was interested in the IJA providing an instructor and putting together a series of instructional videos to go on their website, as well as to possibly get national exposure. I have seen monkeysee.com videos on Nickelodeon and other shows, at least on the East Coast. I don't know. They claim that they're national, so, you know, I've seen them on national syndicated shows here on the East Coast. I did speak with, and I'm going to forget his name. I want to say his name is Greg.
Yeah, Greg Pollock.
Okay, thank you. I spoke with him by phone. And the cost, I mean, there is a cost to the IJA. So if we don't want to do it, if we don't feel it's in our budget, you know, that's fine. But we should at least discuss it a little bit to see if we're interested in doing this. We would need to provide, first of all, a performer. We would need to provide them with an outline of what was to be done on each video within the series. We would need to send that performer to Washington, D.C., for filming. Filming would take about half a day. The cost to the IJA is $200 to $300 per video that's in the series, and we would have to cover transportation for the instructor that would go down to Washington, D.C., or go to Washington. in passing, I was also talking with Michael Karras yesterday, mentioned this to him, and he said, I would love to do something like that for the IJA. And he lives in New York City. It's a very quick train ride for him to get from New York to Washington, D.C. But I'm, you know, I told him we have to keep it kind of open yet. So we first of all have to decide if we even want to do this. If we were to do a series of three instructional videos, the IJA logo would appear, the website would appear, and on each one of the videos they do a short blurb as to what the organization is about. If we wanted to do a three DVD instructional series, that would run us at most, well, $900 to that company at most, plus transportation costs for whoever does this for us.
And what does the IJA get out of it?
Mostly our name getting out there more. They put their videos on over 400 different websites.
Well, I presume they get paid to put those videos on those websites. Do we get any kind of share in the revenue that they get?
I could always ask them that.
Yeah.
I can go back and ask them that. First of all, before we discuss too much more, we do need a motion. Oh, we made the motion and all. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you made the motion, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I didn't write it in. That's my fault. Okay. So if the others on the board want this to be discussed more, that's fine if you have specific questions that need to be asked of the company yet.
I do have one question, and I believe we said, like, when we spoke earlier, you said that you were going to try and clarify this, but do we have redistribution rights for the videos that are produced?
Yes, we do.
Okay. In my opinion, that is more important to me than having any kind of, a financial incentive on our end, because if we have the redistribution rights, we have a professionally made, you know, instructional video series that we can do what we want with, for the most part.
I agree with Tom. With the redistribution rights, even if they don't give us the exposure we were really looking for, we can put it on our YouTube. We can have it on our website as a free download, as incentive for people to go there. We could make sure that we got our money's worth.
And they were very specific about that. Greg was very specific when I asked him, you know, can we put this on our website and can we sell them and that, and it'll have the monkeysee.com label on it, but it will also have the IJA name on it. So, but yes,
cool,
we have redistribution.
Awesome. Because, I mean, if we wanted to try and, like, I've seen a couple of the videos that they have on their websites, and they seem, you know, pretty solid in terms of production. So if we wanted to actually fund the money and make something like this ourselves, it would cost us a lot more than what they're charging us, basically.
Well, how does everybody feel? I think it's something we should do and am ready to vote for it, but do you guys want to table it or move it through?
I'm not a board member. I don't vote. I'm just a member and a paid employee of the IJA pretty soon, but I'm just curious as to why this company would spend all of this money to produce these videos and then give us unlimited rights to show them on the internet and sell them and do anything else we want. What possible gain would they have if they've got their production partner able to sell the videos anywhere and everywhere from now until the end of the world? I mean, is that really in writing in their agreement that they're proposing we sign, is that we get to do whatever we want with these videos forever?
Well, and Mike, that's what I was just going to say, is that we haven't gotten anything written from them yet. This is all just with phone calls and emails at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what we should do is table this until we have an actual written contract from them in front of us. The proposal that I put together was based on the phone call and the one or two emails, and they were informal emails. They weren't, you know, mm-hmm. here's a contract for you. So maybe as a board we should table this and get them to send us a contract in writing,
mm-hmm.
And then decide from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we obligate the IJA to spend anything on this and possibly give away more than we're getting back, I think we ought to look at a full contract.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Sounds good.
It doesn't seem to be any rush since we're going to miss this year's WJD anyway. We could get our ducks in order and do it right and have it ready for Christmas time or next year.
Well, and that's actually what they were shooting for, and Tom, that's why they contacted you when they did, because they wanted to shoot for a release date of being World Juggling Day. So even if we make sure that we do this right and we, wait for a written contract and shoot for next World Juggling Day, that might work better. And we can also talk about who we do want to do the videos. Like I said, Michael Karras is very, very interested, and I know he's very capable of doing such. But maybe that's not who the IJA wants there. So we can talk about that as well in the meantime. I know Michael said if he does do it, the fall would be better for him to go to Washington, D.C. and tape, because right now he's very, very busy with his own projects.
Hey, this is Phil. I'm just curious. What kind of complexity are they looking for in these instructional videos? Because the only thing I can think of right now is if I want to learn to juggle, the first thing I'm going to do is, of course, Google it or go to YouTube. And I think there's thousands upon thousands of instructional videos. Are we paying money for something that is just adding another, six videos on top of the thousands that are already out there? I mean, I understand it has a logo on there, but I would almost think that, with the YouTube contest, the tutorial contest, if you formatted that a little bit differently, I mean, you could have, 50 submissions from IJA people of tutorials of different natures with the IJA logo being a mandate on it, and you might just have to pay a $100 prize with the top video, and you have all these videos now posted on YouTube and stuff like that. I mean, I understand the mild value of having professionally done, although I have not even heard of Monkey C. I mean, it's professionally done to the fact that he's just standing in a studio doing an instructional video for 5 minutes, because even then, I mean, you say $230 is pretty cheap for that. I would actually think it's pretty expensive for a simple instructional video. I mean, there's not that much editing involved in shooting a juggling instructional video. I don't think it's, filming a feature for Hollywood. I just don't know if this is something the board would want to spend all that money on, $200 to $300 per video for something that, like I said, is just there's so many of them out there already.
Well, that's where the IJA has total control as to what we want to put on this series of video. It is entirely up to us. The company Monkey C provides us with a production manager to help us through the process. But as far as writing out an outline of here's what we want to cover in these videos, it is entirely up to the IJA. So we don't have to do basic. We can go the next step up. We can do a little bit different piece of apparatus. It's totally in our hands from there.
No, and that sounds good. It just seems like, it's just going to be another one of those single resources out there for someone else to take a look at, and then there's a dozen more that were done for free that no one paid to have done. It just doesn't seem like it would have the benefit versus the cost.
Well,
that's just my opinion.
Don't forget, and this is for everyone to kind of remember, I think most of the cost here is coming in that they get, I don't know how much of their stuff, and I will ask them this when I call for the contract, but I know I have seen their instructional videos on network TV. And that was one of the things, Tom, didn't they express that to you, that they wanted to get these on network TV?
Yeah, the videos are put into sort of a pool that their syndicates draw from.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would imagine on World Juggling Day, the syndicates will try and play something that's juggling related. But, yeah, their big thing is getting it onto TV.
Yeah. So that's more or less what we're paying for, is for that chance to make it on TV.
Right.
And really spread the word.
Yeah, I get that. That was the other thing, too, is you said the chance. I'd like to know what the the probability or guarantee of it happening, because, I mean, I know local stations and stuff, like your local MPT stations, they're happy to air videos like that all the time for free that you produce and give to them, of course, not that, you know, someone else is producing, but I just would like to know if they're, you know, if they're just saying that because some of their videos have appeared, you know, how many of their videos actually have appeared on network? I haven't, you know, again, I'm not familiar with them and I haven't heard of them, which, I mean, might be just something valuable right there. I mean, how many people have actually heard of this company and seen their videos? You know, that would be a good question to ask.
Yep, and I just type that into my computer so that I can ask that when I call them tomorrow. Okay, so if we're going to table this, we need a motion to table, please.
I'll move to table. This is Tom.
Okay. And someone to second that motion?
Second, Kevin A.
Okay, then this is tabled until July. All right, motion, the item C is a motion to approve the acquisition of an IJA debit card for the 2011 Festival Director, Mike Sullivan. A motion, please.
I'll make that motion, Kevin Macbeth.
Someone to second?
Second, Kevin A.
Any discussion?
Yay, Mike.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, hearing no other discussion, we'll go to the vote. Is anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Does anyone have anything for Varia tonight? Okay, hearing none. This would have been Ken Ferris's last board meeting, so I just want to wish him well officially and hope all the best for him. And for those of you running for the board, Philip, and let's see, I know I'm going to miss somebody. Kevin, you're running again.
Yep.
And Aaron. Richard and Matt. And Aaron, I wish you all luck in the elections coming up in at the Fest.
Thank you.
Okay, the next regular board meeting, at this meeting, we usually don't really set an exact time or place, but it's usually an hour before the annual business meeting at the festival. The annual business meeting is set for noon Pacific time in Sparks on July 28th, so that means our meeting would be at 11 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesday, July 28th, okay? And the meeting place will be announced on site. Phil, usually the board candidates are invited to speak at that meeting. Voting has already started by the time our meeting starts, but just to give the membership a chance to hear what you have to say, if anything, you are invited to speak at that meeting, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, is there anything else for this evening? If not, we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn. This is Tom.
And a second, please.
7-8,
second. And the meeting is adjourned at 9:04 Eastern Time.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
Jim. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Tom, good luck on your travels.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. All right. See everyone in Sparks. Bye-bye.
Bye.